Oh, well, you want to get into this?
I might need a few minutes.
Okay. Typing away with your loud typewriter.
That's right.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 27th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for Christmas 2014. In this episode, we go over a lot of fan interaction, we have some news, and we have some other special things. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can search YouTube for Dead Zone the Podcast and see the video version of this episode. And now on to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 27 of the Dead Zone Podcast. My name is Jack.
I'm Rob.
And you're going to be listening to the sweet, sweet sounds of our voices telling you all about Dead Zone during your Christmas holiday season.
Yep, and this one's a special one. This is the first one we tried to do over Skype, so if it's terrible, blame Skype.
Yes. Well, we're usually terrible. This will just be differently terrible.
Well, that's right. Blame Skype this time. Usually it's just us.
So what's new, Rob? What is it you're going to bring to us?
Lots of news. We got lots of shoutouts, and some other stuff.
Shoutouts. That's our new feature where we just
shoutout.
Yeah, but I can't even explain how awesome it is or why it's called shoutouts. But
so we'll start with some news.
We begin with our first segment, the news.
So the news, mostly it's, you know, good news here is that Wave 3 should be shipping late December, which it's most likely January at that point. I think most things shut down by late December because of the old Christmas. So we should expect our Wave 3 in early January, I would assume. And we'll be getting rest of my Enforcers, and we're getting some more zombies, I think, just because Jack's itching to paint the box full of zombies he already has.
Well, for the general populace, what is included in Wave 3? And then after that, we'll narrow it down and see what it is that we'll get our grubby hands on. What's coming in that for others?
Yeah, it was mostly the hard plastic enforcers, peacekeepers, and forge fathers. So if you're waiting for your big forge fathers, they're the ones in the suits, not so much the brokers. I think the brokers are all done. It's the big ones in the powered armor.
Okay.
And so those should be coming to us, whizzing their way to us soon.
Okay. And in particular, what is it that you're jonesing for? I know the zombies, because we haven't played the zombie rules yet, so it's...
And those zombies are so cool to put together. They're a lot of fun. Yeah, of course, my peacekeepers. They're like all in little... We showed the sprues last time. You can really build very different ones with each of those sprues, so it should be fun to build up some peacekeepers. That's just a little news about that. Also, on the Mantic blog, they've been doing backgrounds for Forge Fathers and Enforcers. So we have some pictures of those guys. You can always go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to check out all the pictures, or you can check us out on YouTube. But yeah, that's what the picture's here if you start looking down the agenda.
Scrolling down, yep. And the Forge Fathers, the battle armor that looks like a squat sentinel.
Those should be the ones that are coming in Wave 3.
I like the looks of those.
Yep, they're dwarves, space dwarves.
Space dwarves. And if that's your thing, that's good on you. Oh, the Iron Ancestor looks nice.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic. This big robot. They're expensive because right now they're only resin, and they're quite expensive, the resin ones, compared to the Striders.
Now, is that the Forge Father version of the Strider?
Yeah, the Iron Ancestor is the Strider for the Forge Fathers.
Okay, because he's a fine-looking robot.
He's a robot. And there's some nice pictures of Enforcers. I like the concept pictures. They're kind of cool. I like the Peacekeeper Enforcer concept. It looks like it should be in a cartoon. It's like a little bit more squatty build or something. That it looks more cartoonish if you scroll down to the black and white ones there.
Yeah. Just looking...
And that's about it. And then Pathfinder, they have neat histories of all these things. Go onto the blog. The links will be in the show notes. And they've more in-depth histories and fluff for all these different factions. I hope they keep doing it for all the factions, but so far they did it probably because these are the Wave 3 things. And the Pathfinders obviously are going to be for the Kickstarter 2. Pathfinder's going to be more focused on in that, so should be fun times.
And you do dig the fluff, so at least there's the game mechanics for some, there's the modeling aspect for others, and for people like yourself, the fluff is an important aspect of the game.
Yep, for sure. I do enjoy the background stuff. And another thing that is happening right now is the Army Painter is running a series of how-to paint tutorials featuring Battlezone scenery on their website. And it's step-by-step tutorials showing how to use their sprays and stuff, like their colored primers. And I've used some of the Armor Painter primers. I've heard people complain about them once in a while, but I used the Army Green to prime my Flames of War stuff, and it was really nice. I liked how it went on. It was very like powdery almost.
I was watching. You've turned me on to Beast of War, and they did one at the. It was one review for the primer, and at first it was panned, but then they revisited it and said it might have been just a single issue thing, because they then went on to say that it was something that you should because it's a colored primer, but it's also colored to match their paint schemes. So
that's the important thing. So you get a primer. Sometimes you prime something, like I've been priming things in black, and then you paint black on them. It's not the same tone of black or the same shininess. This, it matches everything perfectly, so it's really kind of cool that way. So you can go onto their website or go onto their YouTube channel. Once again, the notes are in the show notes. You can check them out. And it's just interesting, different ways to paint battle zones. And now we can move on to old Community Pat, his newly named, the first inaugural issue of The Chop Shop.
And now, The Chop Shop with Community Pat.
So, do you want to read what's happening on the Chop Shop this time, Jack?
Why, sure, Rob. I'll take a crack at that. In the Chop Shop today, Community Pat let us know that OrcCon is going to be February 14th to 17th in Los Angeles, California. And for the West Coasters, Mantic will be at OrcCon in the dealer room. Community Pat is going to be there, and they're going to have a Dead Zone tournament and a Dreadball tournament scheduled for that weekend.
Yep. So that's... It's good to get the West Side all into it.
The West Side. Okay, so that's OrcCon, and that information is going to be in our show notes. But I'm sure if you're in the Los Angeles area, you've heard of it, and now you know Mantic's going to be there and Community Pat's going to be there.
Yep, so go say hi for us.
Yeah. And next up, Community Pat wants us to know in his Chop Shop segment here that Adepticon news, March 19th to 22nd in Schaumburg, Illinois.
Little known convention that's coming up.
You might not have heard of that. We certainly didn't. So, wait, that's the one we're going to.
That's right.
So check out the Adepticon website, and that's at www.adepticon.org, and that's got all the event listings. And quite possibly the Dead Zone tournament is going to be increased to 2 to 4 players. Because that's...
By 2 to 4 players, yeah.
Yeah, that's not set in stone, but...
They're hoping, because Dreadball takes up so little space, they're hoping to get some... or Dead Zone takes up so little space, they're hoping to get some more people into the tournaments there, which is cool.
Might get a little tight, might get a little cramped, keep your elbows in, but we're going to try and get as many games as possible side by side.
And then there's the important thing, the reason that really why we're going. It's the Mantic Night. Yes. It's the Mantic Night on Saturday. Starts at 8 p.m. And, there is going to be a nominal fee to get in because it's almost like a game day kind of thing. And it's going to be most likely $20. But,
$20!
With that, you get finger foods. There's also going to be a cash bar, obviously. And knowing them, I'm sure there's going to be gift bags and things like, I'm pretty sure that $20, you'll end up getting more than $20 worth of fun. And no, they're
going to... $20, it's a deal breaker, I'm not going.
There you go.
Trying to bust my hump for $20. What is this? What kind of racket are you pulling here? I'm not buying it. $20. Oh, okay, $20.
And it's also going to have a live podcast recording of Mantic North America. We might have to raid that. We'll see if we can get on the show.
Might have to.
We'll just, jump in. They'll be like, get him out of there. We'll see how long before we get thrown out of this party. That's going to be a thing. Jack's going to be lifting up Ronnie. We're going to be jumping on the podcasts.
The thing is, Rob is the social media guru. He's He likes to interact with people via the inner tubes. That's his thing. I myself am more of a people person. I like people. I like to mingle. I like to meet people. I like to glad hand and kiss babies. That's why as a team, like we're a good duo for these kinds of situations. So, I think he knows that I'll be able to liven up any party we go to and,
yeah, we'll see. See how many drinks you get into.
Well, that could be a factor. Let's not discount that at all.
They're also going to have a Q&A session with Ronnie, Chopper, and possibly Joe Neat. That'll be interesting. And like I said, they're going to have a raffle and other cool giveaways. So I think in the end, it's going to be great just to meet all these people. Like I'm sure, we know Adam from Strike Zone. He's going to be there. The guys from Mantic North America are there. Community Pat, Ronnie. That's worth the $20 alone, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Again, I'm not a big miniature games fan, or really into that. You more so than myself, so Adepticon will be an event. I'll go and I'll enjoy it and I'll bask in it and it's one of those things that you gotta do once just to do. Mantic Night, however, for me is gonna be the time to meet some of the people I've, in person, the people I've talked to now That's for me is what's going to make the trip.
Yep. Plus,
you're itching to get in that dealer room and
dealer room's always a bonus for me. But yeah, this Mantic Night's going to be the thing though. That'll be fun to meet all the people, especially Ronnie. That'd be great even to shake the man's hand.
Oh, we're going to do that. We're going to get some pictures taken and, it'll be a thing.
They're also running games that night too, which is cool. And, Johnny P from Mantic North America podcast is going to be running a special Strider scenario where everybody brings their Strider and, they all control a single Strider and have some fun.
Now, I don't want to make conspiracy theories. I don't want to say that perhaps that idea was lifted from our podcast, but, not too long ago, I said that a Strider battle, and I think I called it, Strider-thon 3000 combat, something or other. Some nonsense. Either way, I stumbled all over my big, fat tongue trying to say it, but I'm going to take part credit for it.
Well, you can bring that. You can take that up with Johnny.
I will have recorded proof that perhaps this was a idea based not just from the ether, but perhaps subconsciously lifted from our podcast, the Dead Zone podcast.
They're also doing Dead Zone 4 player scenarios, the Xmas zombie scenario, which would be fun. That's when each person plays a different mercenary or a different character from each faction trying to get out of there.
Was that one supposed to be secret?
No, it's been released now.
Okay, because now that we're on the inside track and we have all these things, I thought maybe that was one of the ones that was like, guys, try this one out, but don't keep it on the down low.
Well, it was, but now it's out to everybody.
I'd be like, hey, Community Pat, why do you talk like that? Like a kind of like a sketchy guy from Brooklyn who sells watches out of a trench coat. I don't know. Just keep it on the down low. Okay.
And there's also open tables and a lot of fun to be had by everyone at that Mantic Night.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
And Pat did end that email with boom goes the dynamite. So it must be a lot of fun in the making.
Boom goes the dynamite. Okay. That is a meme from about 6 years ago.
Is it?
I do get the reference.
Oh, I didn't even get the reference. I thought he was just being crazy.
Oh, unless I'm just
reading too much into it.
There was a sportscaster. I think it was his first night on a local news program, and he was not doing very well, and he kept saying "Boom goes the dynamite"
over and over again.
And it was it caught on, and I think that's what he's referencing. Don't know for a fact. If not, well then.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, with that illuminating story, we're going to take a small break. We'll be right back to continue with Dead Zone the Podcast.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at mantecgames.com.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
We have had a lot of fan interaction these past couple of weeks. And the first one is from that we're going to talk about here is the Dead Zone Windows phone app that's been very popular on the on the Facebook group. I've seen a few times, and I think it's even on Board Game Geek. But it's from Lindsay Spare, and this person sent us a lot of information about it and want us to get the word out. Unfortunately, it's only on Windows phones, but hopefully it'll move to a more general release.
Yeah, they sent us an email, which is very nice, it was a flattering one that said that they listened to the show and it gave enough supporting evidence to suggest that that wasn't just a bold-faced lie, which I appreciate. They're complimentary. Now I don't have a Windows phone. I've been unable to see, I can't use the app, and I suspect that BlackBerry's probably not on their list of,
Yeah, actually, Lindsay suggested, when I said that you use a BlackBerry, they said to update you to a Windows phone. That would be your excuse to update. And I said, Jack will never stop using BlackBerries. It's just archaic enough that he can use it.
That is correct. Next, you're going to say I can't use an abacus. That is unacceptable.
But this app is both free to users and free from ads, which is great. I wish it was for other things. From just the description, it sounds like something that would be useful, super useful. It has all the data from all the published material so far, such as the abilities, items, mutations, actions, all different units, and even has Mars attacks in there. And it has a strike team builder built in.
Oh.
And you can export to PDF and things like that. And it was originally a hobby project for this person, but Mantic approved it, and they put it out to the wider masses as long as it was for free, and they've been working on it since then, so it's gotten better and better.
Just the Strike Team Builder alone would be something to have on hand. I know we've had to we use different methods, but to have something where you could just tinker on your phone, sitting on the bus, you got to commute to work. Let me see what I can do. How many points army? Do I need a general? Do I need a sniper? That alone would be something to have, but then to have all the reference material.
Yeah, that's the thing. How often are we going, okay, what does this ability do, or what's exactly this, or all you do is type in the name and it'll pop it up and tells you exactly what each thing does.
Now you're rocking an Android phone.
Yeah.
Now why don't you update to Windows?
Because that would be moving backwards.
Oh, I should have known.
Well, when people like their Windows phone, once you're in a certain, like, just like you, you don't want to switch from BlackBerry because you know BlackBerry's too well, right?
Because I'm an old curmudgeon.
That too.
I'm set in my ways.
You just like being slightly behind the curve.
I love it. That's my thing.
Well, it's not even like you have the newest BlackBerry either. It's not like you're got that really nice fancy touchscreen one. Yours is touchscreen though, right?
Yeah. If I didn't have my not being having a social presence and an old phone, I would have nothing. No, there'd be no reason to live.
That is your defining characteristics.
That is.
So anyways, this app has in the factions, you can check out all the mercenaries, everything. Everything's alphabetized. And it's got all the stat cards right in the app. And
sounds good. So if you wanted to get this phone app by Lindsay Spare, we're going to have the link in the show notes. So check it out if you have a Windows phone. And take a look. It sounds marvelous. I'm not going to switch phones for it, but it sounds great to have.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully they'll get it to Android, so at least I can play with it. And we'll have a full rundown of everything it'll do on the website also, because there's a lot more information about it, and it seems really nice. Also, another thing that fans have been making is different campaign ideas. The campaigns right now are fine, but people have been updating them with different slight rules changes. JP, once again, Johnny from Mantic North America and Zlurpcast has a whole PDF detailing his version of the campaign rules.
Yes, he does mention that for him, because he's got a big gaming group, and
yeah,
they've already played enough games that it's okay just using the cards and the games in a skirmish. It's lost its luster in that there's more that they can do. They've gone on to the campaign, they're clamoring for campaign, and they've gone through them, and now they're having to write their own.
And also they like the ability to level up faster and more variety in missions and things like that.
And they
also don't like their characters dying, so they have ongoing character things. That seems like a lot of the complaints is that you can't get attached to a character because they get killed too easily.
And like he says, he models his all differently. Like Johnny says, when he models something, a team, they can't look at all the same. And he gets attached to some of them whose hats are slightly, his cap's slightly askew, like he's got a jaunty angle to his cap, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, that guy, I like him. He doesn't want that guy to die. So, I can see that.
And also, Leon Chapman from the Containment Protocol's Facebook group, he has a campaign set too. And if you join that group, you can find it there. And his is focuses on leveling up in variety of missions once again, because you never play the same mission twice with his. You once you play a mission, you set that card aside, so you play through all the missions, which is kind of cool. And yeah, less permanent casualties. I think they both have like a casualty roll chart that you can end up, you know, not getting killed, but you just get like a wound or something. Interesting. It's neat that people are coming up with different ways to play campaigns for, like you say, large groups. For us, it's campaigns are not so useful because we're always playing just us. So
we haven't even played the campaigns, to be honest. So yeah. For us, I would be interested. We've got to start knuckling down and getting more games under our belt. We've played plenty of games. Don't get me wrong. We haven't used the AI deck. We haven't used the zombie rules, and we haven't played the campaigns yet.
Because now we've been testing out everything for Adepticon Pat. So that's slowed us down in playing different big games. We've just been going through all the missions there. So. And I could say they're fun, but yeah, we haven't got to use zombies yet, which I'm really excited to do sometime.
So we'll bust that out, the campaign, and eventually we'll have to get into that, to have the problem that you've run out of campaigns because your game group's so big.
Yeah.
You know, that's a problem I wouldn't mind having, but.
Yeah, for sure. We just have a terrible area for any kind of gaming.
Yeah. And plus, you know, this show takes up a lot of our time, the editing, the setup,
our time.
The gaffers, you know, tripods.
Yep. So, let's move on to shoutouts.
It is shoutouts time.
Our first shoutout's from a guy who contacted me on Twitter, and he said,
hey,
thanks for what we retweeted some of his pictures, and he said, thanks for the retweet, and he said, ask for a shout-out. And he's a New York City Pathfinder. His name is TacCom. He's at TheTacCom on Twitter. And he sent us some cool pictures. He got the Enforcers and his Plague done. And he's looking good. So hopefully he spreads into New York City some Mantic love.
Get a little upper New York area. Is it like New York State?
No, New York City. He's a NYC.
Oh, I was like, hopefully like a... But anyways, what can you do? Yeah, we're taking a look at it. He's got the plague painted in almost the same as the Mantic's original with the pink flesh colors and stuff like that. But he's turned it from a like a bright bubblegum to a
fleshy. I like his better actually.
Yeah, I like his Enforcers gray with the, like they look. They're all business. They kind of look yours.
They look beat up too. Yeah, like
they look like instead of a white beat up, he went with like a tan beat up. But it looked very much like yours. But his plague, I think, looked like a gritty Nolan-esque version of the Mantic plague. You know, where it's like, hey, this is what it looked like in the real world.
It's true.
Very good job. Very good job. Tech, you have impressed me with your painting abilities.
Yep. And next we had some emails. First one was from Eric. He said, hey, guys, just listened to the new podcast. Really enjoyed the game and the show. And he listens while painting and uploading his attempts at the Containment Protocol's Facebook page again. And he said he can't wait for Adepticon this year. And he's going to be in the tournament. And he looks forward to seeing us there. So hopefully we get to meet Eric. And he's playing for Team Plague United. With it's him, who goes by E-Rock, his coach in Hot Dice. And he said, keep the show going, and we try.
Yeah, we will. Whether anyone's listening or not, we're going to do this. Like, it's not like we're going to stop anytime soon.
It's because Jack likes to hear himself talk, so that's the only reason we keep doing it, pretty much.
But you know what? I can actually talk on Skype. Every other show, you've talked over me the entire time. This
it sucks.
Oh, I shouldn't have brought it up. No, I'm not going
to. I'll try to talk over you more?
Yeah.
It's because I can't tell when you're almost done a sentence.
That hasn't stopped you before.
Wow. Less pausing. You have less pauses in space.
It's for dramatic effect. I'm an actor.
And another email we got is from Tony. Once again, our buddy Tony. And he said, thanks for the old shout out. He said, big deal.
Oh, yeah. See? I put that to rest, but maybe I'll have to break that out again.
And he sent us more pictures of his top secrets, thing he's building for that the Beast of War contest.
See, that's a callback that shows he's been listening for quite some time.
Well, he's the one who listened to everything, so he's listened the whole time.
And he gets me.
Yeah. Someone has to. And he got one more landing pad set, an Urban Quadrant, arriving when he sent this email. And he's also got his first airbrush set up, which is amazing. And he's going to do one more large building and upscale a couple of others, and then he'll be set. And then he's going to do a crash course in airbrushing. And he said, how hard can it be? And Beast of War have been doing some tutorials on airbrushing, so I'm sure he's been checking that out. And he said he really liked the octagonal buildings in the that Jack did, and the flames in the rubble pile look great, which I agree. The flames up the wall were really awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you to both you, Tony and Rob, for your adoration.
And Tony said he's going to try to emulate the silicon method at some point, and he said he's going to let us know how it goes. And he said, for you to be careful with your cyanide tooth, because you said you'd kill yourself if you to stop his information getting out.
Oh, yeah, no, that's good. My cyanide tooth is well protected. I will, but again, if someone tries to take the pictures of your super secret builds, I will. I've got no problem doing that. Just end it right now.
No qualms.
No qualms. In fact, I probably welcome the warm embrace of death. Just the nice cold sleep.
Yeah, your girlfriend will be happy to hear you say that. Luckily she doesn't listen to the show.
No, God, no. I don't think any women listen to the show.
If you're a woman who listens to the show, please contact us.
Yes.
Well, actually, we know there's at least one. We've been contacted by a woman.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She might be our one.
But as for the airbrushing and the crash course, actually, that's something Rob's been thinking about getting into. So, Tony, let us know how it goes, because that's something that Rob's been on the fence with. I'm surprised that there isn't an airbrush compressor purchase being put onto that young man's credit card.
Well, it's mostly just getting it here is the issue. The shipping is killer. I'd have to have it shipped to the States and then try to bring it across the border somehow. And I would have one if I could have it cheaply shipped to Canada. Unfortunately, we suck and shipping is ridiculous here.
Yeah. But and as for the flames and the rubble pile, the flames that I make with the silicone. Eventually, now Rob's been doing some tests on.
I was going to bring this up about you doing this. You should do this for sure.
Okay. Do you want me to wait because we?
No.
Got that set up for another.
Tease it at least to give it a tease to what you hope that you can do.
Small tutorials on YouTube showing how we do that, because we've had people say, "How did you do that?" And it's one thing to say, "Oh, you just do this." It's another to show, and even if it's a 2-minute clip.
Yeah, I still don't know how you do the silicone thing, so.
We're going to start doing things. Rob's done a couple tests.
Yeah.
We're going to start doing things that if we do something and it's like, oh, how did you do that? Rather than try and explain it via the through your earballs and into your brain, we'll do a quick video. We're not trying to take up anyone's time. We're not trying to get rich. We're not trying to do anything. We'll just do a quick thing that says, hey, and that's kind of something we're working on. So Tony, if you want to see, we're going to try and get something done. I'm going to show you how I make the fire out of silicone.
And yeah, I did an unboxing for the Mantic Crazy Box, which we'll talk about later. And, the first video was the first video?
The first video we did was the unboxing. The second video you did was for, I don't know, since they were just tests, I
don't remember what the first one was. Anyways, point is, we did some short videos. Go to find us on Dead Zone the Podcast on YouTube. You can check those out. And subscribe, because we like subscribers.
Yes, please do. Because we don't even know if people will watch. That's why we're a bit hesitant. Go on, if you subscribe, and even just like the videos, tell us it's something you want to do.
Please excuse the videos. They're pretty rough. They are first attempts.
Yeah. So we'll show you how we did some of the stuff we did. And hopefully just share the wealth. This is a community. We want to know how you do things. We want to see your stuff, and hopefully you want to see our stuff, and we'll make sure we're all better for doing this hobby. We'll make sure everyone's kind of on the same page and has the best techniques. It'll be that's what we're working on anyways.
Yep, sharing everybody's knowledge together. And have you worked on anything this week for any gaming stuff? Anything?
No, I have not.
Now, yeah, I've been working on mostly on Shadows of Brimstone, painting up all that, but I did assemble a couple of, from the Crazy Box, I assembled some of the buildings we got and stuff like that. but nothing really.
And Christmas is just around the corner, literally. We're in the final stretch. The girlfriend still hasn't got any Christmas shopping done, and she's now decided I have to go to the mall with her. So time is fleeting.
Yeah. So, very much time to do anything Dead Zone really yet, but we will, and we'll let you know. And we'll take another break here, and we have some other things to talk about.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at War More Radio.
Welcome to The Strike Zone, a Dreadball podcast. Wait a sec, where's my notes? Ah, these guys, they always forget to bring it up here. Ah, just a sec.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, that's 24 successes against your Corporation Striker. I think my Orc Marauder...
I don't know, man. I think I could still do this. I got 3 dice. I could still do it. I could still make... never mind. What are you guys doing? I need my notes. I should be recording right now, getting this promotion out.
Hey, boss. We just wanted to get a game of Dreadball in before things got a little crazy in the office here.
Sheesh,
no worries.
Man, here we go. Here's the script right here. Let me just write it a couple more things down, make sure my spelling's good. Here you go.
Okay, let's take a look at this. The Strike Zone podcast is a podcast for the fans, by the fans, to celebrate all things Dreadball, is child-friendly and records twice a month on warmoreradio.com. And, okay, I think that's everything, guys.
Okay, just a minute. Can you let us just finish our last turn of the game? I've got a Goblin Jack who is going to try to score with 1 dice.
So you guys are on your last turn, then?
Oh, no, it's not good, because I have a 3-point lead right now, so if he gets the 4-pointer, then he actually will win, even though it's his last strike of the game, and I can't do anything about it. then the breaks.
Okay, this is all good and everything, but we got to get going here, guys. Come on. We got a show to produce. Come on.
The Strike Zone podcast is sponsored by Build a Clone. Build your clones today.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast.
Welcome back. So, Rob, what is it that we have to discuss now after that very surprising revelation of a break that probably shocked, maybe appalled, most of our listeners?
I wouldn't say Mr. Voxman's commercial was that bad, but I guess so.
And now, a review from your hosts at the Dead Zone Podcast.
We'll do a quick review of the Mantic open boxes, since I did do that video, and you can go onto YouTube to see the video. We'll discuss what was actually in them, and how cool they are, because Mantic open boxes are super fun. Mantic crazy boxes.
You do enjoy them, and you broke it down for me like what you paid, what you got, and what would have been worth if had you purchased each individual thing.
Yep.
I was kind of surprised.
In what way?
In that you said I paid this amount and...
You're surprised I did the work, or are you surprised how much everything was worth?
How much everything was worth?
Yeah. You're not surprised I went through all that work?
Oh, no, no.
I did it for the video mostly, just so I could mention it. Yeah, so, we got a lot of stuff from it, and, quickly go over it. From Warpath, we got another Raptor. I think that's our 4th one, right?
We're gonna have a whole garage full.
You can do this one, because I've done 2. You can do 2 now. And, we got a Marauder Command again, which you can also have because you wanted more Marauders. And we got the Jotun Forgefather Tank and Forgefather Stormrage Veterans. I think we've gotten every single one of these before, and that's fine. I think we have enough Forgefathers for a Warpath army at this point. It's quite a few.
Oh, probably. You already had quite a few, but...
Yeah, we got 5 more. They're cool. I do like those models. They're really neat looking.
I didn't care for them, but you really... You did. And I think that... When it comes right down to it, even if we don't play Warpath,
no.
Even just as a hobbyist, if you want to paint them and you enjoy them, that's worth it right there. Like, I know that's not all you got in that crazy box. You got some other stuff that I reserved.
Yeah, that's just the Warpath section. We'll skip the Dead Zone for now. We'll go down to, for Kings of War. Unfortunately, Kings of War is usually a lot of stuff. This time it was only some Elf Bowmen, or Elf Spearmen, I should say, and, 2 Sisterhood, Panther Lancers, though. Those are mounted units, and those alone were worth $70 right there. And they are part of the Basilians, which would be my army if we played Kings of War, so they were cool. We also got some dead Marz Attack minis, which they only come in the box that are some kind of expansion. There's like 4 dead Marines and 2 dead Martians. It's always fun to have dead characters.
The dead Marines, you could paint them up like Corporation and have them sprawled across the battlefield, or even if you needed to. If you had no other use for them, even as dead markers, you could put them at like in the scenery.
Yeah.
Hauled up against some rubble or something, and that would be interesting.
Yep. And we also got one connector sprue and a sci-fi ruined outpost, which came with another connector sprue, and 8 accessory sprues. They love giving accessories. They must have way too many accessory sprues. They just give those things out like candy. And I there's a picture of the assembled ruined outpost, which I pretty much made what Mantic said to make out of it. I used almost every single piece. I think I did use every single piece, and that's what you make out of it. So I did it by the book for once, and they turned out nice.
Those will fit into the overall theme that we have for our buildings. Like that, we now have enough ruined stuff that it looks.
You can do like from one end ruined up to like not ruined on the other end of like a 6x4 board or something.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I really, for being a pretty simple, cheap but effective, those rubble piles.
Yeah.
I painted up a couple that were actually attached to my burned out building.
Mm-hmm.
They really do just add a little something. I don't know why, because it's just, you can paint like a pile of dirt with some bricks in it and some girders. They really do just add a little.
Yeah, they're neat. They're little bricks.
Something that's very simple.
Yep, I like them. I like these little ruined sector. It's pretty cool to get that in there. We also got a lot of Dreadball stuff. We got 2 more dozers. So we got some more Teratons, Praetorian MVP, Mikhail Judwan MVP, Ludwig, which is a cool bug-looking one, and 2 Void Siren Keepers, which they're just like goalies, and a Refbot, which is kind of funny. So we got more Dreadball stuff, which is always good.
Now, listening to the Strike Zone and not even playing Dreadball, the Judwan sound fun. Like, that might be my team if I were to play.
Yeah, they don't hit people. They just dodge and stuff.
Yeah, they're kind of sketchy in that way, and I think that sounded interesting to me. But
unfortunately, the team I'd like to play is the Nameless, but they're the cheapest, like cheesiest team. Everybody plays those. Who wants to win? So I'd be like, oh, that sucks.
Well, you already play the Enforcers, so like you can't double up on that.
No, I guess the Marauders are the ones that are the cheap wins for Dead Zone. We just don't play them. Anyways,
I was just taking a jab. I was just getting a cheap shot.
I know.
You took the high road, and I appreciate that. That's you keep it classy around here.
I try. And lastly, the piece de resistance, as I like to say. For Dead Zone, we got 2 Plague Stage 1s, which are my favorite model in the game.
Oh, yeah, you're going to rock. Painting that was a pleasure.
Yeah, you got 2 of them, so I'll paint one up probably. Chopar Psychic, which is always cool to get that big metal. He turned out really cool looking, too. With his tentacles.
It, as something to paint that I would, that's the one, the one model that I saw, and I was like, I wouldn't mind taking a crack at that. The way they painted up, the Mantic is painted up, it looks good.
You want to try something different?
Well, see, that's the thing. It's such an interesting model that I wouldn't even know where to start. It would just be one of those things. You just sit down and let's do this.
Yeah.
Because it's a really interesting, fun looking model. Much like the Plague Stage 1, I think it would be an enjoyable one to paint.
Yeah, he looks cool. Like, put together, he looks really awesome. He's big, too. He's a lot bigger than I thought he was. We also got 3 Hellfathers, which, really, you don't need 3, so we got 3 of those guys. It's the Hellfather, finally, you can check him out. We've always been, it's funny, the two mercenaries we got are ones we never got before. We never had. So that's kind of cool that we got those. And we also got 4 Mob Beasts. We were saying how fun Mob Beasts are, now we got some more Mob Beasts to run around.
If I play Marauders, it's going to be Mob Beast Central. It's going to be, if you could have like multiple units from different factions, it would be a Plague Hellhounds and Mob Beasts. Just, it would be like a twisted SPCA breakout. My team would just be Feral.
Yeah, it's pretty much Feral now. It's your Plague.
That is true.
And we also got some Marauder Grunts, 2 more Goblin Snipers, but not the prancing one. We got 2 of the actual useful ones. We got 5 Plague 3As. You want to paint some more Plagues?
God, no. I'm sick of Plagues.
And we got 8 Reb Humans. So we got tons of Reb Humans, too.
Well, you can make a Plague army now.
I pretty much could from this.
You have enough, just what I'm seeing here, to make something that could be, like, combat ready. Just from that crazy box, you could play a strike team.
Especially if you add one of the, either the Chovar or Hellfather into that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I could guarantee you could make a good strike team with just that crazy box for the game we happen to play. And even if you were to discard the Kings of War, discard Dreadball, just like, okay, into the garbage. that box that you bought, you could.
Well, it was four boxes. This year they actually offered something called the Sci-Fi Crazy Box. So I got two sci-fi ones and two regular ones. And the thing is, when Mantic sends that many together, they put it in one big box, so I don't know what came in which. But we also got a couple of Kings of War rule books, like the pamphlet ones and some posters. And altogether, paid $160 for those four boxes, but it was worth, when you calculate it all out, to $466. So I know you're not going to use everything, but even if you use a few of them, like if you use just the Dreadball and the Dead Zone, it's worth it, I think. So it's a lot of cool stuff in there.
You asked why I said I was surprised. What surprised me? You just dropped the bomb right there.
Yeah.
That's, when I saw that number of what you got, what it was worth, what you had got had you paid each individual thing, I was shocked. I was like, oh my God. And obviously it's worth it.
Oh yeah, it's definitely worth it. It was cool stuff.
And let me just say one thing. Have you painted the Type 1A yet?
No.
When I did, I used the hot water treatment to change the arms on one, and I changed the head on one because I had two and I wanted to change it up. And I've regretted ever since because I didn't know, it was very early on and I didn't know how the Restic would act. I didn't want to warp anything. I did not go bold. And I always said if I got another one, I would hot water, that guy would go for a nice warm bath and I would make a dynamic pose. I would have him like crouch down. I've moved the arms. They're thick. It's a beefy model. It's a big beefy model. And I moved the arm and it looks really good. It worked. Faryu, just make him dominate. Arms, head, just get in there and it can take it. The rest it can take it. That's all I'm saying is before you paint him, give him a nice hot bath and just go to town.
Well, we'll see what's happening there. We do have extras of stuff. Like I said, we have extra Dreadball Dozer that I haven't unpacked. Plague 1, two extra Hellfathers. Like, we have all this extra stuff. Even if we wanted to, we could give away a Yotan or a Raptor. You think we should do a contest sometime and give some of this stuff away? There was a lot of it.
That was your hard-earned greenbacks that went into those crazy boxes. So if you're saying, out of the kindness of your heart, that some of our listeners deserve a little something-something, then who am I to stop you?
Yeah, well, maybe next we'll think about what we'll do for the giveaway. But next episode, we'll announce how to you yourself could win some of this stuff from the crazy box.
So, can I enter?
You're already getting some stuff.
Oh.
And you complain every time I try to give you anything anyways.
That's true. Okay, well then, yes. So from our own personal, well, his own personal stock, I think we're going to reward some of our fine listeners. Well, we've had great feedback. We've had a lot of audience participation. We've been really, really fortunate that we've had a lot of good feedback. And as far as I know, I'm not on the social media, but we had no one talking crap about us. You know, this is just something we do out of the kindness of our
heart. I just hide the bad stuff from you, Jack.
Because it'd make me angry.
But I don't want you to cry.
So it sounds like we're going to start giving back.
Yeah, we'll hope so.
A raptor, getting a raptor in the mail, it would not be something to sneeze at.
So we'll take a short break here. We'll be back for our last segment, and we'll wrap everything up. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic. Wintergreen, please take it away.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at Iron Watch Magazine.
Do you like Mantic Games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you, Iron Watch Magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's Ironwatch.wordpress.com.
Download now.
And now, back to your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Pike.
And we're back.
We are.
We now present to you a Dead Zone Battle Report.
This last one is just going to be a quick battle report, not a real battle report, because we're going to do a general discussion about the Adepticon play we've been doing for Pat. We won't give any specifics about what we've actually been doing. Just go over. We'll look at these pictures and we'll reminisce about these games without spoiling anything. How's that sound, Jack?
Okay, yeah. It's now I don't have the notes from this game. I don't. This one was played a while ago.
Yeah. The first game one was played with our friend Dave. He was playing Plague. It was his first game ever, and he was against Jack, who was playing Rebs.
For the second time ever.
Was it? I think that might have been your first time ever for Rebs too.
No, I think I had tried them once before.
Did
but
you? The other game was your first time ever. That's right.
Yeah, this was just an army list that you kind of just threw some stuff together because we wanted to get it done, get it together real quick. Dave's time was limited, and we wanted to get him in and hooked. So, we did the first scenario that we played at Adepticon.
Yeah, Mission 1.
Mission 1. And I don't even think we should give the name away because the name...
No. We won't give anything away. We'll just talk about what happened in the game a little bit.
Okay.
Dave was, by the second round, he was already telling us how to play the game.
Seeing that aspect of it. Now I'm gonna pull back the curtain a little bit and show you the Wizard Oz himself, and say that, to be honest, I've never read the rule book. Listeners, it's gonna come to a shock. I've never cracked the rule book, not once.
It's not a shock to me, frankly.
Because Rob, who was the one who wanted to play the game, he wanted to be involved, and he's the one who was the driving force. He read the rules. He came to me and said, "This is how it's going to be. Like, this is the rules." And he walked me through it the first couple times. And we had a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah,
it was. But
and we have great cheat sheets that we got off of Game Board Geek that really help.
So him teaching me, I think, helped himself learn.
Yeah, for sure.
The true genius of how the rules are, the simplicity, and really shocked me. That didn't shock me. It really came to life when we had someone else come in. Now, months later, we've played many, many games, and we start saying, okay, well, this is how this works. And he was immediately, oh, okay, three
you
dice,
picked it up right away.
This. And it just really, it was a contrast from when we learned, when Rob told me and we were kind of, feeling it out the rules to, okay, showing someone night and day.
The game, once you know how to play the game and try to show someone else, it's like so much easier.
Took off. And it was a quick game. Like it was
yep.
really good.
It was Plague versus Rebs, as they said. Yeah. And, I'd say the first round, it looked like the Rebs were going to win. You had a, sword spawn, the new sword spawn model. And he suppressed a stage one and then jumped on him with a sword spawn. And you had like 10 dice and the stage one only had like one die. And we're like, oh my god, this guy's just gonna massacre your stage one. That's gonna be the game pretty much because you're gonna lose your biggest model. And somehow you failed to kill him.
I had teamed up the regular Sorak with that blaster gun with the sword spawn. And he had moved his stage 1A boldly right out in the open. And I thought, this guy's never played before. Do I capitalize on what I think is going to be a mistake of epic proportions? I said that would be wrong. Yet I did it anyways. And I suppressed him with the one Sorak, and I moved in with the sword spawn. And
we were like, oh my god, this is going to work so amazingly.
And it did. It worked so amazingly that
he beat you down, stood up.
He stood up, and I don't know how long this battle report's going to be, but I had moved all my guys in the assumption that stage 1A was going to be a bloody mess. Much to my chagrin, that stage 1A stood up and proceeded to just rout my entire army.
Yeah, I pretty much that one guy, because he'd fight, move, and then, like, next round, move, fight, move. Like, it was like he whirlwind through almost your whole army. And, and he had quite a few dogs up there, too.
Now, he was using my, one of my builds that had a, has been a kind of a seasoned build, which was good. It really gave him, it put him on par with me trying out this new, but it was shocking how badly I was destroyed.
Cause yeah, I'd say the first round, it looked like you were going to beat him easily, and then it was gone.
And the problem is, I'm trying not to say what the mission was, or why I moved certain people certain places. I don't want Community Pat to chastise me. I don't want to wait.
You don't ruin anything, yeah.
No, I don't need a tisk tisk from Community Pat. So suffice it to say, you can take a look at the pictures. They're on the website. Scroll along and see. You can see our scenery. You can see the models, how we've painted them. And just know that I was defeated by someone who had never played the game in such fashion. It was a good fight in the fact that I had to hide my last model in an area under a building
where the plague stage one couldn't get to,
because the stage one crushed every model he got to and was working his way to my general. My general hid into behind girders and just flippantly he goes, okay, I'll send in the dogs. And that was it. He sent the plague dogs in, and my general was torn to pieces by plague dogs because he couldn't get a stage one in there.
And then mission two we played was more recently. I played the Marauders and you played the Enforcers. And this one especially was good because it showed off the new building you built, the new damage building. And my main point with this Marauder group was I had two Ripper suits. I was like, they're going to cause some trouble. And first round, your sniper killed them both. He killed one, and then he used a command action to reactivate him and kill the other one in the first round. So I thought the game was over at that point, but it actually lasted a lot longer, and I came close to winning.
Yes, yes. Again, the mission cards, the mission that Pat had laid out without giving out too much information, really made a fast-paced game because it's for tournament play, and they want to make sure you're not malingering.
Yeah.
It's not a standoff kind of.
For sure.
You can't just sit on your laurels. But, that was my first time using Enforcers, and I've watched the master of the sniper over here. This guy knows his stuff. Like when Dave was playing with a seasoned, balanced plague army, I've watched this guy here, this magnificent bastard, his love of the sniper and the, I said, well, I gotta have one.
And I think you had a flamer too, didn't you?
I did, because I do like it burns. And that was just me. That was all me. The rest of it was kind of like just adopting, your army to my play style.
Yeah.
But the flamer was just me. When I saw that, I said, I gotta have that.
That sniper did wipe out quite a few people until I finally sent some dogs to kill him, or some mob beasts.
That's the thing, you were quickly forced to adopt my,
We switched teams there.
But that was a very enjoyable game, and
it was close right down to the end, and then finally you completed the mission, which I just it was a good fight, and there were some great pictures of mob beasts just eating all the enforcers were actually pathfinders, and we had some mob beasts eating some pathfinders, which was fun.
So yeah, we can't get into too much detail. Just take a look at the pictures. It's just eye candy. Just know that we played and. Their Community Pat's missions, and you'll be able to, after Adepticon, I think they'll become public and you'll be able to play them yourselves. They were fun. But if nothing else, take a look at the pictures, share the pictures with your friends and family, revel in them, let the beauty of them and the quality of our paint jobs just wash over you like a warm shower.
And especially the building there. You can see the one picture is great of my, I think he was an HMG Marauder hanging out a window because there was hardly any floor on the inside because it was all burned out. And he's just hanging on, being able to shoot at the window.
I do like that picture. It focused on the building, your Marauder a little on the fuzzy side, but you can see the barrel of goo to his, on the left of the picture, and you can see he's,
just holding on.
The building did turn out nice, but
my other favorite picture is the dog jumping off the raptor onto a enforcer.
And for gameplay, we did have a use of the gun crazy rule.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And that was dangerous.
Yeah, that was first round. That was only one shot he got off because he did his gun crazy and he finally stopped. He got covered in smoke or whatever it is that stops him, and then he got shot in the head with a sniper. But, he only got one round to try it, but.
It was an interesting mechanic, and it's something that we'll have to explore. But basically, you decide to spread as much damage around with the gun crazy.
He keeps shooting his guns until he stops shooting his guns.
and you chose to spread it around my army as much as possible.
I should have concentrated it all on the sniper. I wanted to see the sniper in action. My enforcer bias came out a little bit to see the sniper. I can't shoot him. He's the best.
Yeah, well, you did say that perhaps was the impetus of it, but also you were just testing out, seeing how that worked. You're not a Marauders expert.
No, it's only the second time I played them. And this was, it was also once that sniper killed both my Ripper suits, then my mob beasts were like, screw that guy. No more biased. We're going to eat that guy.
And you did what I did one of our first games. I took a guy who has a resilient guy and said, okay, and you put him right
over. I was like, yeah, he should be. He'll take one shot. Like,
and said, how much of that sniper can I take? And
it wasn't. And then you reactivated and shot again, which was killer. So.
And I think we both now, you know why I fear the sniper.
He's good. It's just, yeah, you just can't walk out. Don't give him a shot. That's the key.
No,
or
don't
give him a shot at something that you don't care about.
Okay, well, that's a truncated kind of a glossed over for the sake of necessity battle report. At least you know we're still playing. We're still enjoying the game. And hopefully.
I think enjoying it more. These missions have revitalized my want to play.
And you know what? It almost makes me think that we should get to the campaigns.
Similar reason.
For that reason, because we've done the cards, the mission cards, we've played quite a bit of those games, and I think it might be time to
upgrade. I really want to play zombie missions, personally. That will be so much fun.
Yeah, a cooperative.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. Us just playing, against each other with,
maybe on a bigger board, a 2x4 board or something.
Jokingly, you do call me a whining bitch, even though I don't whine nor bitch.
Once in a while.
But once in a while you do call me that. But it'd be fun instead of the head-to-head to really just let loose and be the cheap, you know.
Yeah, not have to worry about, offending anyone.
Just give her hell on some zombies.
Yeah, because neither of us are like cutthroat players. We're not, you know, we don't want anybody to feel bad after the game.
No, but.
But if we were playing against something we didn't care about, like some zombies, I think we could really rip some stuff up.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. So that was our battle report.
And that was our 27th episode of Dead Zone, the podcast. And,
Already.
I think it's been a lot longer than it seems.
Oh, well, hopefully the time went as quickly, for you, the listener, as it has for us, for me especially. It's been very enjoyable. I'm glad you could join us.
And I'd like to wish you, I stepped on you.
You did. I love this Skype. We're doing this by Skype every time now.
So I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Holidays and a Happy Christmas, a wonderful New Year. We'll be back in January. And, anything else you'd like to say, Jack?
I would just like to say, ho, ho, ho! Happy Holidays to everyone. Please keep sending us your Twitters and your emails and being involved. And, we like hearing it and, we like doing this. Thank you very much. And, in the next year, we're going to really step it up. We're going to keep growing, keep getting better. We're going to get some tutorials out. We're going to do some stuff. We really want to keep being a part of the community, and we want to keep making the community better as best we can. Thank you very much. And, we'll see you all in the new year.
Yep, thanks a lot. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to laugh.
Bastrow!
Oi there, Dirigible.
Help a fellow Empire citizen out, would you?
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Hello, William.
I made the koala burgers.
So what's new?
Are you insane?
That better be a rhetorical question. And yes.
Well, far too long.
I once knew a Spaniard in Tarragona who spoke in gibberish, like you.
Up, up, and escape!
That was terrible.
I should be a god, and instead I'm stuck down here like a worm.
She would tell me such wonderful stories.
Dr. Deja Vu will return.
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Sorry, Judge Pudding.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.